Hi, how do you like my? Okay, so I'm Izawellen. Hi, I'm Izawellen, and I am a writer, and this is one of my works in progress. If you want to listen from the beginning, and hopefully I haven't skipped chapters or moved chapters around and messed up my sequencing terribly since the last time I posted to or read aloud. If you want to read, listen from the beginning, you can go and go back to where it says, I think, revisiting Kot in my on YouTube and in my Audible account. I'm also going to make it a little bit simpler, just this once, because I am not great at doing things like this, people. It takes me twice as long to do as it does anybody else on the planet. I am going to list the links down below somewhere. I'm also recording this live on TikTok, which means I will flub over some of the words. Like words that start with a P and stand for cat. There is some of that kind of language in this work, and I will probably just fly right by that. Other words, which seem to be TikTok friendly, that start with an F and end with uck. I'm terrible at saying, anyways, and sometimes I just decide that it's better if I fly right back by those. This is a work in progress, which means that it is not perfect. It is not finished. It is has a long way to go. The info dump at the beginning, just writer to writer, reader to reader, is a pretty precarious thing, and this is a great story to follow. Sleep too, let me tell you. So we are on, I am on chapter 7, Annika, I believe. She has, to catch you up, she has felt doom coming in the soles of her feet, a very strange tingling, and she is very much in denial of feeling anything. There you have been introduced to her stepsister, Bradonna, to Jack, the tavern owner. And I think there is one barmaid, and the setting is Jack's tavern. And you have been introduced to this kind of very broad beginning of character cast of characters. Annika has felt this tingling in her feet, and she didn't know what it was. She was very much in denial that it could be anything magical because she knows in her heart of hearts exactly what it is. Bradonna is plotting and planning her stepsister behind the scenes, and there's lots of family history there between them. And then you have Jack, who is hopelessly in love with Bradonna and is kind of oblivious and just kind of the owner of the tavern. So now, and every chapter is kind of in all of the Annika chapters are in first person point of view, which some readers are just going to be celebrating over and love, and but the other chapters are not. I'm sorry. They're all in third person point of view, even the hero who is actually coming onto the scene. I have blocked my notifications. That doesn't mean I still won't get notifications. I probably, some of them will sneak through because I don't know all my settings. You know how that is. So here we go. I am also live on TikTok. I don't know why, because it's like crickets in here, but yeah, I am. If you ever want to come and follow me on TikTok, you can. All of my social media people is under Izawellen. And guess what? I am the only, like Tigger, I am the only Izawellen. And I'm the only one who spells it Isoellen, Isoellen, Izawellen. And if you come across a name and it says it, if it's not me, then it's a fake. So tell me, okay? Just come find me, tell me. And I would love to know if you find some fake Isabellan work out there. I actually found some Renee Rose, I believe that's who it was, Alpha's Promise. She is a fantastic and very pro and Lee Cervino, fantastic and prolific writer. And I found some audiobooks on YouTube that were not hers. It was not hers. She had not given permission for this strange account with the hieroglyphic writing on it to share her work, to share this work. It was not hers, so I let her know, and she's like, thank you. So yeah, if you come across any of my stuff, please, please let me know. Okay, here we go. I'm reading live. Annika, Chapter 7. Mages, gnolls, and magickers are everywhere. There were all kinds of Jack faces. This one was new. I'd never seen him terrified and subservient, working for his life, his hands gripped together in a parody of prayer. He was a bull backing away from wolves. Gentlemen, is something wrong? Annika, why weren't you in the kitchen? What have you done? The question verged on gentle. He knew what I'd done, sounding as put on as a deception as any that I'd ever heard, only really bad. I didn't know the men's names. Whispered about in hushed tones reserved for the patrol, the Knoll bounty hunter from Diordo had been a topic in the market for months. Every telling I heard about him was worse than the one before it. I expected him to swoop in on giant bat wings, snatching up children from the mere yards to be carried away to Knoll factories, not to come to town with two burly, well-oiled henchmen smelling of bath spices and fir trees. I heard the fancy machines they rode on. They were hard to miss, spectacle here. If he wanted subtle, that was not the way to go. The farm wives thought the trio was the thing. So I knew all about them driving through town with witches seated in front of him and taking over old Magicker estate in this stone forest, far inside the woods where no one else dared to go. That was hard enough to believe. Why would a Knoll try to live there? Easier places existed than those miserable woods. I heard he took contracts directly from the consortium and made his coin in the blood of innocents. No one mentioned doomhounds or magic abilities. They looked like Knoll men, grounded, solid, muscled as oxen. But only one of them was Knoll. Caught between them, I weighed my options, and none of them were good. How could this be happening? I think we're going to be here a while. Hunter will want to talk to you, the Knoll told Jack. Changing colors, the barkeeps went from red, white, then red again. It was a distracting show to watch. I assure you, Jack started to say. The Knoll interrupted him. Get the fracking food. And crack a point of your best medicine, you hear? Said the other one. Fracking? I asked, poking at them. Is that like fuck? We say fuck here on the farm, like normal, plain people should. Where are you crazy magickers from that you say frack? You strangers? Clearly your kind doesn't belong here. You're going to start a riot messing with me. You aren't one of us. Why are you here? Does the patrol know you are here? I don't think so. But this is my home, so you can go and I will stay. I had no idea what I was saying. I wanted to leave, needed to leave. The ugly thing inside of me was too awake after meeting the hounds, stretching to a greater awareness, filling up space and cutting off my air. More than anything, I wanted the monster exorcised from my head. I liked a few books and an old wool blanket my mother gave me before she died, but the stepsister and the vile snake slithering through my head with its own consciousness, she could have that back. The bounty hunter's goon men shoved me into a chair at the end of the council table. My butt hit wood at the same time one of them took my knit cap. Pins and clips bounced into my lap and onto the floor. Pulling my meanest face, I yelled in outrage. My hair, the strings of hair connected to nerve endings of torture. I jerked around to find my hat in the bald guy's hands. You're going to be dead if you manage to hurt the hound's void. You know that? He peered down, his slim beak of a noise at me. I don't know. What was more outrageous, being called a void or the idea that I'd hurt the hounds? Not a void, goose egg. I'm a plain woman, a Knoll. Give me that back. I didn't do anything. I got to get back to work or I'll lose my job. Knoll, he gave me a shocked look. Oh, you know you've lost your job, said the Knoll man next to him. A plain woman, The hairless one gestured to me like I was dressed up in witch silks and my throat squeezed on a gag in response. I'm a pale blonde. What's wrong with that? Crime against blonde hair now? Raising my eyebrows as high as I could. Damn me. I couldn't do that arch thing. I tipped my head in the direction of the male blonde mop and scrub brush set who took the chair on my left. "How old do you think she is?" Blondie asked over my head to his companion. I tried to stand up. One hand on my shoulder, and bald idiot pushed me down. Damn, his bulk wasn't just for show then. It worked as presented. Worse, his magic essence buzzed through my clothes, telling me his nature. A shifter. His other shape was a thing with hair, teeth, and claws. A wolfin, the kind that collected females and kept a tribal dynamic. Wolfin had a witch sensitivity that other magickers weren't known to have. This one looked me over as if I was cake. I had a picture of his kind in my book, too. Only that beast had much more hair than this man. Everyone knew that the consortium had done terrible things to people like him during and after the war, dragging them away for study. As far as I knew, in their quest for more magic and power, they still were dragged away for study. What was this wolfen doing with a mage? How did he hide his nature? Not that I cared. Mm-mm, idiots could do as they pleased. None of my business. I didn't know anything. And it was none of their business how old I was. Youth and my stink was the only thing protecting me. No good for me lay in that direction. She's a baby one way or another. Look at them eyes. Does she even know who we are and the trouble she's in? The blonde gnoll said. As if I wasn't sitting right there in a chair, pinned down by trouble. I'm looking at them eyes, that face, that mouth, sweet as witch-born sugar. Think we get a taste? The goose egg squawked. I scratched them, bit them, fight them to death, sick the doomhounds on them all. Nothing would turn me into a witch or a woman like my mother. Fear was a murky thing at my feet, the big pit of a hole I would sink into at any moment like madness. Sweet as sugar, you think? I'm not deaf, you idiots, sitting right here. And if you think I'll give you a taste of anything except my anger, then you had better think again. I didn't do anything. I said it slowly so the moronic man-children could figure it out. These two weren't ugly. I wish they were. The gnoll with the wheat-colored hair had a thin-lipped, well-put-together face. The egghead had cut, divined features, clean and somewhat roguish, with ilium-pierced silver ears. With ilium-silver-pierced ears. They looked me over like I was a joke, talking back and forth between themselves until I lost track. He's gonna love her. Don't think we'll be getting a taste of this one, then? Not a lick. He'll want that smart mouth all to himself, young, fresh, and sweet. No sharing. No sharing what? The bounty hunter asked from the doorway. Chapter 8. Annika. Witches and Mages. The second exposure to the bounty hunter's presence was worse than the first. Although not bigger than Jack, this man was the largest male standing in any room. I had to struggle with my body to keep from gasping for air, drowning in him, pressed down by the weight of him. His face, body, movement looked like a mature, self-assured forest dweller, the kind that hunted for big and dangerous and came back with bloody knuckles and a smirk. But the weight of his presence felt old, dangerous, and out of patience. This man would make no effort at polite or careful. He was thunder and lightning, consuming space. Nobody but me seemed aware of just how massive he was. They all acted casual and greasy. Friends, fellow cock crew. I gripped my teeth and breathed through my nose against the seductive call from his mage energy. Power spilled out from his core in a nimbus of dark perfume, teasing the edges of every barrier I'd ever managed to build against his type. I was null. I would not succumb to this. I would not fall and be consumed. Mages were the drug witches craved. The one they poured themselves into, draining them to mindless skeletons. Better than alcohol, higher and more effective than blue. I've never done it. I was null, damn it. But I'd seen it. I saw what my mother mages did to my mother. I wasn't her. Couldn't be her. Because I wasn't a witch. I put that part of myself so deep permanently years ago, and no curlish, sword-swinging abomination of manhood was going to call that bitch monster out with sex. I was not that woman. I would never be her. I was a nullus. I was null, less than void, less than nothing, unable to hold magic. Weird shit happened around me, but that meant nothing. Nobody to see, nothing to worry about, nobody to notice. The male null reached out in the direction of my shoulder, his human heat like the dawn on my side, feeling me diminish, lessen. I saw it on his face as I faded. He reached out to stop me as if he was watching me disappear into a mist. But since I was the focus of everyone's attention, the effort to disappear into the heels of my shoe was wasted. Doing nothing more than confusing the null and deepening the mage's frown. No sharing ales, of course. The beast can get his own, the null said. That's not what you were saying at all, my mouth said, all on its own. Damn it. No? The hunter asked, and then he was there. 4 or 5 long strides at the end of the room where his men had put me. His energy pushed at me from every angle, a bubble trying to trap me in its airless, suffocating circle. If I'd been a mature, unbonded witch, then my skin would glow in welcome to any mage, letting him know I had magic available for his use. My mother had magic, but she had always told me that my birth father devoured her shine, so she had none left to give. My lack of reactive energy glow gave her the magical gave her lack of reactive energy glow gave her the magical appearance of a void. I should reread that. Let me reread that. I'm rereading that. If I'd been a mature, unbonded witch, then my skin would glow in welcome to any mage, letting him know I had magic available for his use. My mother had magic, but she always told me that my birth father devoured her shine, so she had none left to give. Her lack of reactive energy glow gave her the magical appearance of a void, someone with no magic. My mother, Noelle, looked like a witch, as elegant as a bird of sapphire and silver. But to most mages and other witches, she felt like a void, just a shell of what could be. She walked past all the patrols of consortium-trained elite unifiers, unnoticed. Yet, I never knew her to control her witch nature when a true mage was around. She never even tried. A witch until her death, with every one of their weaknesses. I wasn't weak. Wouldn't be. Deep in the black parts of my mind where I forced it, the leech parasite I shared a body with twisted, scraping at walls. Ignoring it, I gripped the sides of the wood chair the men trapped me in. Nope, that's not what your pet piggy said at all, I told the mage. Is it, boys? Been so long since you got your widow wicks wet, you're wanting to stick them in anything, even a little girl. And you, being the pig herder, they said you like to take the children first. I chirped the insults in a sing-song, insulting them all. The null gasped, the hunter's brow darkened, and the bald woofin' magicker reacted, red hot with anger. He reached out to hurt me, snarling promises of my regret. Max, the hunter snapped. The bald guy practically dropped to his seat to sit like a dog to keep from following through. The action as instant as it was ingrained. Choking on a laugh, I grinned humorlessly at them. It was funny to see the magicker's human shape as a rep shape reprimanded like a naughty pet, but I really didn't want to think about what it might mean when that a mage could control an adult woofen male. And the mage was not happy. Leaning over me with deliberate slowness, he put a gloved hand on my throat and forced my head back into an angle. He arched me right back in my chair, light and mobile, small compared to him, and easy to twist and break. "Who are you, little witch? Where did you come from?" "I'm not a witch. I'm a kitchen rat," I answered. "What is your name?" "I'm not going to tell you anything." His face hovered right over mine, hot breath on my mouth. Dark green eyes with striations of gold and bronze examined me like he didn't know what to do with me. He had extra long eyelashes. They were feminine, but his bushy eyebrows lowered over them in anger. Unfortunately, I didn't know the proper way to deal with stress like this. Jack should have warned him. Unblinking, I glared at the bounty hunter, forgetting every lesson I knew about mages. I pushed back against the threat of him. "I come from here. I was born in this crap town. I'm nobody. Who are you, stranger? You aren't from here, magicker." "Magicker," he repeated the slur. I knew he couldn't believe I dared. "Or maybe you're a unifier. You got those bikes and those puppies, don't you? You're not normal, so you must be one of them city creeps. Is this how you bring balance, terrorizing people? You and your men, grope-fingered, ass-loving children molesters?" "You are not a child," laughter rang in my head. It grew out of the knot at the back of my skull, just above my spine, slithered forward in lazy circles, scales brushing against the barriers I had put up between it and the mage. "I know that I'm the only one that hears it, feels it, a madness under my skin that I didn't ask for. I called it witch, the epitome of everything I hated. It had ruined my life multiple times over, but I wouldn't let it win, and no stupid, good-looking mage from the cities could seduce my senses into letting her out. I'm nobody," I told him, grinding my teeth and fisting my hands until my nails clipped my palms. His eyes looked into mine, searching. "I said, I mop floors. I wash glasses. I take out the trash. Before that, I cleaned Mrs. Darrow's house, but she died and some blue dealers took over the place. I don't want to clean for them. I mean, they were slobs. Before that, I was a picker when I was a kid, but I got too big for the tree branches. They have a weight limit, you know, and I'm nobody and you're wasting my time. Dishes piling up. If one breaks, it comes out of my coppers." I heard myself talking, filling in spaces out loud while I looked for ways to push the aura of his magical lure far, far from me. A picker. A nobody, and yet, my hounds show you their bellies and lick your face, little kitchen rat. His words just had the edge of a scary growl. All men, as far as I could see, were scary. The hunter and his team at the top of the list. Despite appearing as bulky as one of the gnoll race, this man was not a gnoll. This man was mage, full-on, pure, in Diageo mage. He soaked in the energy gleaned from the shine of other natural-born women. I could smell it. If I squinted, I could pick out the halo of colors from the female magic he used to power his casting. Conversations with magickers were the last thing I wanted. Did he feel my own life energy? Could he tell? His allure sang and pulled, searching for harmony for another witch, hoping to find something inside me that I didn't want to exist. "Could you remove your hand?" I croaked. A good option at this moment was bursting into tears and behaving in an expected, girlish manner. I should try to throw more doubt on my age. They couldn't really know the truth. "Tell me your name," the hunter demanded. From the corner of my eye, I saw his gnoll companion wince and clutch at his ears as the mage used his harvested witch shine to add magical force to his words. I felt it. But, as accustomed as I was to practicing oblivion, my manufactured reaction scooted across my face a tad too slow for the hunter. I blurted my name out before he could act on anything I might be exposing. Annika! Your stepsister is? You don't know? I looked at the two other watching the show. Chapter 8. Annika. I'm nobody. Their faces said nothing. I laughed. I don't know if it was funny, but the laugh felt right. Brittana is my stepsister. Her father married my mother. And you lived here all your life. Brittana is from Ysidio, the blonde said. Her father was a traitor, got into some trouble with the patrol. Yes? Brittana's father, Mikos, the mild-mannered dungfly, was trouble for everyone he met. He'd come to New Indio trying to hide from the patrols. I didn't say anything. And your natural parents? The hunter pressed. I don't want to tell you that, I told him. Baldy barked out a laugh. I frowned. Why was that funny? The hunter removed his grasp from my throat, finally. Tell me anyways, because I can find out in just minutes. I coughed and hacked dramatically, still feeling the grip of his cold glove. I needed to come up with something to distract them. This wouldn't go well. These men held the position of strength. I just had stuff I didn't want them to know. Stretched out over above the chair, big man mage looming over me, hunting secrets. I was in serious danger. Why hadn't I let his own hounds eat him up? I really needed the man to back off. Listen, I didn't do anything to your dogs. I like dogs. Who doesn't like dogs? I mean, unless you're some kind of feline, but I'm just a null, and I would never hurt an animal. I'm good with animals, that's all. I gave him my biggest eyes and my most earnest face. I would never hurt them. I didn't know I shouldn't say hello to someone else's pets. It was an accident, actually. I was running from Jack. He was going to give me a beating. You can ask him. You want me to call him? He can tell you. I ran right into them dogs of yours, and they started wagging their tails. Wagging their tails, the hunter said after me. That's right, friendly, he repeated flatly. Those eyes of his ran all over me, searching. Could this just be over? Could I melt into the floor, try to escape him? I'd been itching out of the chair. In spite of his attention, I couldn't hold still. My usual disappearing act of making myself small had failed in a big way. I needed to get away. With a jerk of my knees, the hunter sat me down all the way, smashing my behind into the hardwood and yanking my hands into my lap, robbing me of a chance to escape, like I had a chance. His nearness singed my nose hairs with his magic. No one ever focused on me or saw me, made me feel this hair-raised twitch. Why did the mage scum have to be so handsome? He didn't look like a native. He looked like a powerful warrior, an earthly gnoll, and I liked it. I liked the strong blade shape of his nose, the shape of his jaw under the dark stubble of the three-day beard, the firm cut of his cheekbones, the tiny scars at his left temple. All of it was too appealing for my own good, and his mouth. I don't think I ever in my life noticed the shape of a man's mouth. He had full, soft-looking lips, thick, too big, too sensuous. He'd suck the life out of me with that mouth. I couldn't find him attractive. I shouldn't find him attractive. I liked his fresh, green-scented breath, and now I thought about it, his clothes, his body, he smelled a lot like the hellhounds, and I loved that smoky and warm smell. But I didn't like him. Couldn't like him. He was a giant twat. Didn't like how he collared what should be free and how he had so much undeserved power as a bounty hunter, everyone jumping to do his bidding. If he murdered me, right here, right now, no one would make a peep about it. No one. Nobody knew who he was, why he was here. The fact that he lived under the nose of the high and mighty First Order of the Proctor, coming and going as he pleased, like he was one of them, was proof he could do anything he wanted to me. All the Dicks and Blicks in the other room would look at the floor and make way for him. I like animals, I guess, I started again. He sat back in his chair. Pulling the release on his jacket, he opened it more over his black shirt. Straps for his weapons went over his shoulders and across a wide chest. I saw the hilts of knives, mage guns, a walking armory, as his big hand reached inside the flaps of his jacket. Silver glinted, I panicked. It must be a knife, and he meant to use it on me. Jerking back, scrambling, nowhere to go, I would fight for my life. I would run. I wouldn't be taken. I wanted to live. Trained and practiced, moving faster than my eyes and mind processed, his hands went to the back of my neck. To slit my throat, left, right, up, down, his men on alert, both sides of me. There was no place to go. I'm dead. Worse. Worse. I gasped and choked as something happened. Something changed. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. This was much worse. What had he done? Still alive, not sure if I wanted to be alive anymore. In the chair next to him, I sucked in air, feeling like someone had thumped me on my breastbone with a hammer. There was no pain, yet I hurt everywhere. My soul hurt, my heart beating frantically. He put something on me. Magic. Casual as ever, cocksure. The hunter sat back down in his seat, his head swinging to the doorway, two clicks before Bedonna and Jack appeared, ale and food in hand. A silent, strained production played out in front of me through a film of my tears I wouldn't let fall. All hips and boobs, Bedonna danced beautifully forward on the balls of her feet, not spilling a drop of Jack's best dark potent ale. Jack, a step behind her, trying to look small in a way that made all his muscles pop under his skin. My stepsister took in the sight of me, of the men, seeing everything. Her gray eyes touched mine with fury. She was not happy I was here, and she wasn't. I couldn't find the cheeky words to invite her to take my place. Not now. Jack set the food down behind her, saying nothing, eager to be gone, and taking Bedonna out by the arm with him. Neither of them dared break the silence. Did they see what had been done to me? The hunter had collared me, just like one the Doomhound. Dehumanized me. I didn't have to touch it. I felt him, felt the weight of him, his mage will, his ownership, my end. He could do anything now. Control me like a bitch. Turning on to the table, the men cut the steak, took a bite, and chewed. He ignored me as if he hadn't just chained my soul to his, as if he didn't know what he had just done to another person. Casually, he said, "If Stahl doesn't show, we'll go to him, get that settled before dawn. Stahl is still greedier than a gull with a fish barrel. He will show," the Knollbeard answered, pulling from the tray. There was a nervous sweat on his brow. I wasn't surprised at all when he drank down half a cup of the ale. I sat there and did nothing. A silver circlet of Ilium mage magic around my neck. The goons gobbled plates and ate. They looked at their food and each other, but not me. The hunter finished half his plate, then cut a sliver, speared it with his fork, and held it in front of my mouth. It had his spit on it, but it was steak. Jack only served food by request to certain customers, men like the hunter or the male, and it would be perfect in every way. Used to snatching food, it was a habit to reach out and take what I could. I was always hungry. It was steak. I'd only tasted it a couple of times, scraps, imported, hard to get, expensive. Sheep and goat were more common than extravagant beef, less greasy, less stringy. I loved the taste of it, rare, meeting rare, dripping juices. The maid pulled his hand back, shaking his head. Oh, damn it. Hot embarrassment and humiliation dumped down on my head. What was I doing? Why had he offered it and then taken it away? What was happening? I looked at him. This was some twisted game. Did he want to feed me like a pet now that he had collared me? He shook his head, wordlessly. Held his fork out to my mouth again. He wanted me to open my mouth and eat from his fork. The food thing was obedience training, humiliation, proof he was a mage and I was a witch and he held all the power. Collared me with an ilium chain I could feel layering over my clothes around my neck like the touch of his hand, but much worse. Heavy, alive, alert, magic at my neck. I didn't know what it could do or what he wanted. "I'm too young for you," I blurted. "I'm not of age to do it. I'm not. You don't want me. I have no experience. I'm only good for drudge work in the kitchen with a mop. I'm a kitchen rat. I'm nobody. No, nothing. Are you too stupid to see that I'm a null? No shine. I don't shine." He ate the piece he cut himself, watching me. "I'm good with a mop. I can't dance. I'm underage. Ask Jack. Brianna says I squawk when I try to sing. I'm not good at anything except for cleaning. Please. I didn't do anything for the dogs. I won't go out there again. In fact, I will never see you again. Let me go."
"You still haven't answered my last question, girl."
"Your last question?
Why would I tell a perverted magic or freak anything?" He frowned, looking at me over again as if I was distasteful to them.
"What is it you think I want?"
"Good, good. If he took a mage taste of me, he would get nothing but sulfur and ash. I wasn't a witch to pair bond with a mage or become some kind of bespoke side piece. I was flesh and dirt, earthbound, dust and stone, nothing." Unable to look at him, I said, "You want what men always want." Sitting too close and too big and too good-looking, enough to make me uncomfortable, I didn't want to have this conversation.
"And what is that?" he asked with the curve of his mouth.
"I just wanted out of this room, away from him. And if I hadn't mouthed off to those farm blicks, if I hadn't run, if I hadn't encountered an ancient, mythical doomhounds drawing his notice, I just needed a few minutes to go back in time for a redo. Why couldn't he see that I was just a mouthy little kitchen rat? Take this off me," I pointed at the silver thing. Too short for me to see it under my chin and against the base of my throat, I couldn't bring myself to touch it. The thing hummed on top of my clothes. I dreaded what it was going to feel like all the way against my skin. He cut more meat, waving the fork by my mouth. "You aren't hungry?" He knew I was. He'd probably seen my mouth watering over that meat. I couldn't remember the last time I had eaten or what it was. "You know I'm starving."
"Do I? Have I heard you ask for food?"
"I'd rather leave."
"Can I leave?
I don't know. Can you?"
I frowned at him. Games. He liked to play games. I got up, took the opposite side of the table out of the room, got to the doorway, walked through it without him saying a word. I made it to the main room, saw Brianna at a table in some guy's lap and Jack at the bar. Then, my feet were turning, taking me back into the room with a bounty hunter. I inhaled when I got there. Breathed in the scented hellfire that I could find no perfect word for, and saw him smirking at the table, drinking his ale. "I guess you can't. That's good to know. Come here, Annika." My feet, my legs, my bodies went. Natural movement. My heart, my mind wanted something else, yet every muscle and nerve lined up for his command in perfect agreement. I won't have someone who my hellhounds turn belly up for running around loose. They are special. Surely you noticed, Noel, that they are not like other dogs. You understand. You will come home with me.
Go home with you? I squeaked.
If you want, you can scrub my kitchens and wash my dishes, but you'll be where I can keep an eye on you. The pack wants that, too, if it's any comfort to you. They like you.
Go home with you? I croaked again.
Why does one like you? Why do the hounds accept you? Why are you not affected by them? Why are you not afraid?
Afraid?
Animals like me. The words sounded like squeaks. I couldn't breathe. Smiling at me, his eyes crinkled at the sides.
I added some years to his age count. The man had jet black hair with a few gray, stray grays on his chin, but his energy was much too strong to just have lived a few 40 years. Who was he? What was he? Animals like you. But those are not animals, and you know that, don't you? You say you are Null, but that collar would only hold for a natural-born native Indonesian. And little secret girl, it was made for one kind of Indonesian in particular. Can you guess? I couldn't answer. I wasn't going to answer that. My name is Calyx Argus, and you are now under my protection, little witch. I want to know about your parents. I want to know how you hide your shine. I want to know why you were not bothered by the hounds. I want to know all about you. I could speak, but I couldn't move. My physical body held by his will. Tell you nothing. I don't want a protector. You do. Let's not argue the point. Come here. As natural as if I had decided to act crazy, my body went to him. For now, come and eat, he gestured his plate. Going back to the chair, I sat down. Could he make me eat? I didn't know. Wasn't ready to find out what the chain around my neck had gained him. Eyes wide, I sat there like a fool and let him feed me. They closed again as I enjoyed the well-seasoned steak. It might have been years since I had tasted meat. Even cold, this one bite was better than the scraps of bread and cheese I usually got. I gave in to it a bit, opening my mouth like a baby and letting him put the steak inside like an idiot, enjoying what I could to the fullest. I may have moaned a little, chewing and swallowing, running my tongue over my teeth. The rich protein hit my system with a nice punch. Opening my mouth for more, I waited, glaring at him as much as I could. He didn't make a sound, yet I could feel a weird change in the atmosphere, a shift that raised the hair on my arms and caused a shiver down my back. Closing my mouth with an embarrassed snap, I opened my eyes again and looked at the hunter who had captured me. Big, hulking thing. All his intensity and hot inner magic had zeroed in on me with hungry intent when I let him feed me. Something had happened. He'd seen me as a girl, an annoyance before, but now he burned with intensity. No. 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 Nope. 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 That was the last thing I wanted. How old are you? He asked. Not old enough for the likes of you. Told you. You have gray hair on your chin. You must be in your late 30s, 40s, 50s, old enough to be my father. So old. Too old for me. He frowned, displeasure lowering his brows. His stony face didn't give away too much, but his eyes were like the weather. They hid nothing. The green went cloudy and the gold went bright, a building storm. My fingers and toes tingled. It made me stupid and reckless. I knew it. Gritting my teeth, I had to force myself to stop talking and not say anything to him. That's not an answer. I've noticed when you don't want to say something, rather than lie, little witch, you avoid the answer. Why is that? Do you have trouble with lies? Who would want to lie to a man like you? You're a trustworthy bounty hunter. Arrogant ass, right? Everyone bows when you stroll by with your fist full of contracts. You're a unifier, at least. The First Order, or is it the Consortium? Sarcasm dripped from my every word. Damn it. My mouth. I needed to be placating, agreeable. I needed to just answer the man. But the threat of him ignited defiance in every inch of my being. He sighed, a big, heavy body moving kind of sigh from a put-upon man. We had better begin how I plan to go on, little witch. I think I need to teach that mouth of yours some manners. Do you need anything in here, Addo? More ale? A dance? Bridonna asked from the doorway, interrupting. For the first time in my life, I was glad to see her. The two goons were happy as well. I could hear their well-made clothes creak as they took breaths and relaxed in their chairs. I needed to run. I needed her help. In one night, my life, my choices were slipping through my fingers. I'd spent years hiding, but doom arrived and recognized me, exposing me to the attention of three powerful males. If Calyx Argus didn't want to use me up, there were two others happily waiting in line. In her gold panties and sheer skirt, with the high-heeled shoes and nothing else, the area between Bradonna's breasts sparkled with sweat. She wore her pretty hair down her back, holding a fresh tray of ale the men hadn't ordered. She smiled under paint-darkened eyelashes. I was told you gentlemen were thirsty and to give you anything you want. She walked into the room with grace and suggestion, looking hopeful that what they wanted would be her. Coming up close to the blonde Noel, who was closest to me, she cocked her hip in a way that made her butt stick out. Hello, Max. Remember me? Hello, Donna girl, the bald magicker answered back. I'd never seen them here before this day, but Bajana's suggestive smiles told me they shared some naked memories. Any for me, sweetie? The bearded Noel asked. Served first, the hunter took the ale and swigged it down. He didn't look pleased, but the ale was ale, I guess. Sitting the tray down, she asked, Why is the little kitchen rat in here? Send her back. We can have some fun. No, Calyx wiped his mouth. If I felt the word resonate in my gut, I knew Bradonna did too. She gave me a glance, her bottom lip swelling out in a pout. Don't you want to play, Addo? Nothing in the hunter's body or his face suggested playfulness. Bradonna didn't say anything. She didn't defend me, claim me as family, ask for mercy. Nothing. We'd lived together for the last 5 years, two of them with my parents and three of them getting by on our own. We shared my mother's flat, scraping with everything we had. We didn't like each other, but if our placers had been reversed, I would have stood up for her. I know I would have. Her chin lowered with her eyes downcast on the floor under the hard gaze of the hunter. And she left. Thank you for listening to Caught Balancing Magic by Isowellen. All this content that you have listened to is owned by me, claimed by me, and absolutely my fault. As I read through it, I found about 100 things I needed to change, cut, edit, remove, add, all that stuff. But I really hope you are enjoying this read through of Caught Balancing Magic. The unaudiobook, I don't know. So the next chapter will be chapter 9, and it actually is in Calyx's point of view. There is a small chance I might get someone to read that for me, or I'll have to read it. I don't know. But it is in Calyx's point of view, which is one of the updates that I have made to this book in the 3 years, 2.5 years, 3 years that I've been working on it. Was putting Calyx's chapters earlier in the book and adding Bradonna chapters as well. So, you can find this work in progress in all its mess and more. There are some of the errors here are things that I said one way and then changed to another. You know, like I think Bradonna and me 5 years, I'm not sure if I had them. That 5-year time, I'll have to double check. So, but that is on actually the work in progress. You can read most of it for free on Ream, R-E-A-M, reamstories.com. Search Isowellen, you'll be able to find me. The chapters in this book that are locked are the not safe for work chapters. So, there is an earlier chapter in here, or there will be a chapter that's going to be locked coming up, and I'm probably not going to read it either. But yeah, the chapters that are locked are the not safe for work chapters, and they are also not hugely important to stay in touch with the story, at least at this point. And anybody can read those for free. So that is almost up to chapter, I
I think it's up to chapter 12 or something that you can read for free. If you want to read along, I love your feedback. You are free to catch all my mistakes. I am not able to correct them right away. One reason why is when I correct them in Ream, it erases all of the comments. And if there are good comments, I'm going to keep those and encourage me to keep writing. So, but you are welcome to make them and highlight them because I do log them and update my final copy that I'm working on, the copy that I'm working on. What else? I have turned in Redeeming Her Alpha. I think I have said that is the fourth book or the third book, however you're counting it, book in the 12 Sector series. And it is Merrick's book. It is a redemption story with all this Mexi times and children. And good Lord, can you hear the dog? I think the dog wants some company. Okay, I'm going to go find out what the dog is up to. I hope you have a great day. Thank you for listening. Like, love, share, all that stuff. When you like something, if you share it out for any author's work, you help them tremendously. When you review it, when you tell people about it, that is, you have no idea the effect that has on our work and on our egos too. So, have a great day. Thank you.